Jesus, we come today, God, we consecrate these moments to you. We invite your spirit. Father, if you stand at the door and knock, Jesus, we open today. We ask you to just spend this time with us, speaking over us and singing over us. Father God, we pray against anything that might hinder your voice. And God, we proclaim today that your word is final, that you get the last word over us. God, that you are pursuing us. God, we just pray that we would just rest in you today. Amen. Morning, I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture you have painted for me. A love letter in the sky. And story, I could have had a really different story. But you came down from heaven to restore me. Forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Mountains, you're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. Even when it feels like I'm surrounded, you never leave my side. No, nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Oh, what a song to sing. 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 What a song, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song, what a song to sing. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me like. You guys believe that?
You ever feel like there are things that we Christians say that probably started out as very powerful statements, but they've been said so many times that they kind of lose their luster? Yeah? So, what do you think about when you hear someone say about having a relationship with God? Like, what do you think about? You know? Like, what does that make your, what does that stir in your heart? I know, for me, it doesn't stir much, to be honest with you, because I've been in church my whole life and been hearing the same thing over and over. God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. Or God loves you. You know, that's just such a, we hear that so often, especially in the South, you know, that we kind of just forget what those words really mean. I love the, when the disciples came to Jesus, and they, at this point, they'd been hearing him pray and hearing him do and seeing him do all these things. And they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus says some words that completely changed the face of Christianity, the message of the gospel. It really embodied the gospel. He said two words, our Father. The reason that was so groundbreaking, because back then they didn't refer to God as Father. That was too close. It was too, it was disrespectful almost to say that. And Jesus started, he said, this is how you should pray, our Father. And those two words completely changed everything. Because Jesus desires to be Father to us, to love us, to call us into this intimate relationship of father and son, and father and daughter, right? And there's this special thing that happens within that. And what sucks about it is that for a lot of us, we didn't have great dads, right? Some of us. And the problem is that we kind of see God, we sort of get this image of God based and patterned after our own fathers. So you can see how if we had a bad home life or an absent father, a father that mistreated us, we can see how that would cause a lot of problems. But here's the deal. God cares a lot less about having you not sin. He cares a lot less about that and more about restoring the image of father that you have in your head. And that's the great work of restoration, redeeming that word, redeeming that image, and showing you that him being your father wasn't a backup plan. It wasn't like your dad messed it up, and so now God's going to be your father, right? That's not the way it works. Before the foundations of the world, God planned on being your daddy, right? He planned on being your father, your Abba. He planned on you crawling up in his lap when you're afraid. He planned on singing over you as you go to sleep. He planned on providing for you, attending to you, caring for you, fighting for you, pursuing you. All of that was already planned. That was plan A, okay? It was never plan B. So God calls us into this relationship, into this thing, this father-son, father-daughter relationship. He calls us into it and he says, you know what? You can actually trust me with your life, with provision, with protection. You know, you actually don't have to chase after self-protection anymore. You don't have to live in fear of scarcity. And I'm calling you into something very close and very intimate. And I'm calling you to rest. I'm calling you to give your life, your heart to me. That's what Jesus, that's what God is calling you into, calling me into. And it's outlandish, it really is, but it's real. And it's the heart of restoration, it's the heart of the gospel. Let me listen to your melodies, the beauty falling from eternity. Pull me closer with your gravity, the weight of who you are, the weight of who you are. Let me wander in the mystery. I will marvel at your majesty. Take me out beyond what I can see. The reaches of your love, the reaches of your love. There's nothing that can change it. Your love, your love. No one that can tame it. This crazy love separate us. Your love, your love. This crazy love. You spoke it all into existence. Hold it on to your fingertips. Still your love, it is so intimate. The reaches of your love, the reaches of your love. There's no one that can change it. Your love, your love. There's no one that can tame it. This crazy love. What could separate us? Your love, your love, your crazy love. There's nothing that can change it. Your love, your love. There's no one that can tame it. Your crazy love. Oh, what could separate us? Your love. What can heal diseases? This crazy love. What could separate us? Your love, your love. This crazy love. What could separate us? Your love, your love. This crazy love.
Jesse's going to keep playing for just a second. I want you just to do something. Life is hectic. Life is busy. Let's just stop and all just kind of bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes. Some great words have been sung over us this morning. Crazy love. Think about that for a second. Just that the creator of this universe and all that is in it loves you. With the relationship of a perfect father to a son or daughter. And all that he's created, no matter what shape you come in this morning, no matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do tomorrow, you are the pinnacle of his creation. He loves you just as you are. That's the grace and mercy of Jesus. So we're thankful for that this morning. So just let's do as the psalmist said a few psalms back, be still and know that he is God. And so just for a moment, just bask in the love that is best described in human terms as crazy. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, as you quiet our hearts this morning, our minds, all the things that we have to do today or do tomorrow, or maybe even the things that we feel like right now in this moment, all depend on us. Help us to remember your words that, Father, that you'll take care of us, you'll provide. Even the birds of the air have no worries. And so, God, may we follow their example this morning and know that you will take care of us. You will watch over us. And as Jesse said, that you long to sing over us, just giving us the words of our Father. I love, too, that that's not just my Father, that it's our Father, that it's a collective thing. It's a family thing. That's what you're doing out here. God, you're building family. Through Jesus' name, you're building family from all different walks of life, a lot of different beautiful stories. God, we just thank you that we can say, our Father. Because of Jesus, we can say to you with 100% confidence this morning, our Father, and we can trust and know that you call back my son, my daughter. That's good stuff, and we thank you for that. That is a crazy love. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your grace and mercy this morning, your compassion on us. And we just pray that you continue to speak. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good stuff, isn't it? His love. All right. Great stuff. I appreciate that, brother. All right. I'm going to read Psalm 50 this morning. As we do that, we're hopping back into the Psalms this morning. And then dipping over into Isaiah just a little bit this morning, something God reminded me of. So if anybody has a Bible, wants to follow along or jot this down in your notes to look at later, Psalm 50, starting at verse 1, it says, "The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of a sun of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty of God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire around him, a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenants to your lips? For you hate discipline and cast your words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then. You who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. You pray with me. Father, we get to a passage like this and we see, God, your holiness come out, your righteousness come out, and we get to a part, and rightfully so, we hear that someone that is not with you, strong wording of tearing us apart or being separated or anything like these, God, it brings about this picture of just, man, just fear. Reverence maybe at times, God, as we think about this, but I think about the grace and the compassion and the mercy that is Jesus. Thank you that we can call on his name and believe that he paid our ransom, and that, God, we are with you, that we can offer praises of thanksgiving, as your word says, that we can find salvation in you through Jesus and through Jesus alone, not of our good works, not of tipping the scales, but Jesus alone. That's who you built this family around. Jesus, you are the head of this church, and we gather under your leadership this morning as a family. We pray and we ask these things in your name. Amen. All right. I love how this starts out. Psalm 50, verse 1. It says, "The mighty one speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun." I want you to think about that. Go back in your mind to the most beautiful place you've ever seen a sunrise. You got it pictured? Some of you may be Birmingham, Alabama. It may have been a morning that you woke up and sitting over the city and seeing a beautiful sunrise. Some, it may take you to a scene at the beach, right? I love the beach, man. I love to sit there, and very few times when I go to the beach, I'm on that kind of relaxed mode. I don't get up to see the sunrise. I'm more likely to see a sunset, but I have been up early with a cup of coffee and watched the sunrise, and it's a beautiful thing. I've seen the sunset right in some beautiful places. Maybe it takes you to a scene of the mountains and just looking out, or somewhere that you've seen on TV, even the beauty of a sunrise and sunset. But I want you to listen to this. It says, "The mighty one speaks and summons the sunrise and the sunset." In other words, everybody look to me in the back, even back there. Okay. I want you to listen to this, that there is a God this morning and will be tomorrow and the next day until Jesus returns and sets all things new and sets things right, that speaks and summons the sun to rise and the sun to set. Now, is that not amazing? I mean, really, when you think about it, that there is this one, there is a mighty one, God our Father, who is Lord of all things. Whether we admit it or not, and really the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun and everything in between. And so for this morning, I want to speak just a second to the doubter of that and say, there is no God. I don't believe in such a thing. I don't believe there is one who controls the sunrise or the sun setting. Then I have a simple question. How are you here this morning? I mean, think about it. What did you do to get here? We did nothing. We have to either just throw that up to happenstance by just some miracle, by some thread of evolution. Something just happened and we're here. I mean, think about this, that this world that we are in right now and just how it functions, and that even if it's off tilt, just a little bit off of its axis, nothing works as if it does right now. Think about your body itself right now. Everybody do this. I'm not asking you to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but put your hand on your heart this morning. Is it beating? If not, raise your hand. We'll get you some help. All right. Do you know that you're doing nothing to make that happen right now? That the breath, breathe in. Sometimes it's good to do a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Wax on. Wax off. Right? You're doing nothing to cause that. Do you realize that there is an author and a finisher of your faith, an author of your life that is sustaining you at this very moment? Listen to me this morning. Some of us to hear maybe for the first time with real ears, spiritual ears this morning, that there is a God that loves you and that cares for you. And he's not pissed off at you, that he made a way in Jesus' name. He made a way for you to be a son or a daughter, but you are alive for a reason. There is something keeping you going. You didn't just arrive here by chance. Mom and dad played a part, but they weren't the only ones. That there was a plan for your life. There was no luck or coincidence involved that you were planned ever before you took a breath. I believe there is a God. I believe there is a mighty one who speaks, and the sun rises and the sun falls, and he is the mighty one, the creator of all. Verse 6 tells us this in Psalm 50. He says, "The heavens declare his righteousness." I know we are loving the shade right now, but I want you just to take a gander out at the clouds that we see this morning. That's just what we can see. Ever see any of those trippy videos that just go to the telescope, to the extreme, right? The biggest telescope we have. And it says that scratches just a surface of what is space and everything that is in it. That trips me out. And he is the one who spoke into existence, and it is there, and he has always been. If you want your noodle baked, I want you just to sit around and think, he's always been, and he created all this. But yet he created you, and in all of those things, as the heavens declare the glory and the righteousness of God, you declare it even more so, because he looks at you in the creation account and all things he said was good, but he gets to you and says, very good. The crowning jewel of creation, the apple of his eye, is you. Verse 8, though, speaks of the people's attempt to impress a God. Isn't that like us? A God that spoke everything into existence, and somehow we feel that we can impress him or change our standing with him by what we do or what we don't do. We see people in here that talks about sacrificing and burnt offerings and all these things that are continually before him, it says in verse 8. And then verse 16, it says reciting his statutes and covenants. Verse 17, you hate discipline and you cast his words behind you. Verse 18, hanging with thieves and adulterers. It seems that in Psalm 50, if you read, there's a lot of ritual going on, a lot of religion. If you think back to any kind of sacrifice that is mentioned, I want you to know the Old Testament way of things. Who do you think instituted that? It was God, right? But there are time after time that we look in Scripture and he is not pleased with the sacrifices that are being offered. I used to read that and I would think, man, they're doing what you told them to do. They're sacrificing. I mean, they're literally doing what you prescribed them to do, and you're not happy. Can we ever please you, God, is what it brings to mind. A lot of ritual. I want to take you to a passage. I mentioned this earlier that I was going to go to Isaiah chapter 1, and it's just taken me there by this psalm, and God led me to this place today to share this. Isaiah chapter 1, starting at verse 10, I want to read this through verse 15. Another time that God is speaking to his people, and I want you to listen to the wording of this. In fact, if you've got time, go and later and read the Message paraphrase of this. It is just spot on. But as you listen to this, I want you to listen to the things that the people were doing, trying to earn some place with God. They're sacrificing, they're meeting together, they are keeping everything by the book as if you would read right off the pages of the law. Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 15, here's what it says. Listen to what God calls the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah." He's not putting them in pretty good company, right? If you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's getting their attention right off of, I'm watching you, how you act and how you operate, and you should be the people of God, but you remind me of Sodom and Gomorrah, not the company that you want to be in. Listen to what he says. This is continuing with Psalm 50. "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices?" So not just a little bit of sacrifice, but multitudes of sacrifice, all the people, says the Lord. Listen to what he says. "I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls," the bulls that they were sacrificing, the lambs or the goats. He says, "I do not delight in this." God, you are the one that prescribed this. And they're doing exactly what you said. when you come to appear before me, who has required this of you? This trampling of my courts, this entering into his presence, right? And it says, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. There is something of a fragrant offering in Scripture. And he is saying here that this incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath are calling of convocations. These times that they would get together and add these feasts and celebrations and praise to God. But listen to what he says. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. Then listen to a holy God of what he says to the people who are going through the motions and doing everything that God has prescribed. This is by the book. This is the prescription of everything that they were supposed to do. And listen to what he says. They have become a burden to me. God is telling a people that are set apart, that are called by his name, and they are doing what he's asked them to do. And he's saying this, they have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. He tells God's people, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. You look at this and you see that there are a multitude of sacrifices. God is the one who prescribes, but yet he says, I am weary of them. I will hide my eyes. And when you pray, I will not listen. What would make a holy God do as such when people were doing exactly what he asked them to do? I believe God despises empty religion, but he sure is in love with relationship. Let me go back to Psalm 50. We'll go back to Isaiah 1 here in just a second. Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High God. And call on me on the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. You see, there's something different about going through the prescription of ritual and sacrifice of just religion, but he calls to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 23 in Psalm 50, he says it again in case they didn't pick up on it the first time. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Go back to Isaiah 1 and listen to this. The same in Isaiah 1. After he says, my eyes I will hide and I will not listen anymore. In fact, I told you to go and read the message sometime. The message says it in this way, that God is sick of our meetings, meetings, meetings. You ever been in that role where you just go to church, you just go because that's what you're supposed to do, that you're just a good boy or a good girl because that's what you're supposed to do? It's checking off one box after box. If you ever dare to open this book during the week, it's just so you can say you did it. I'm going to pray now just so I can say I did it. I'm going to give my money just so I can say I did it. I'm going to go to church just so I said I did it. And I would say that the God of Isaiah 1 would say the same thing to you on June the 2nd in 2019. I am tired of your meetings, meetings, meetings. He goes on to say in the message, I'm tired of your worship charades. Have I ever played charades? Tired of the games. But verse 16 and 17 in Isaiah 1, he gives the key from religion to relationship. Listen to this. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Excuse me, let me go back. Verse 16, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. bring justice to the fatherless, and please the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now, I want to tell you here this morning that as you think about religion and you go through a list of a passage here where he says, I'm tired of your meetings. I'm tired of your festivals. I'm tired of all of these offerings and sacrifices and your meetings. I'm tired of the games you're playing. But he comes to a passage where he says, but if you'll wash yourselves and make yourself clean, remove the evil from the deeds before your eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fathers, please the widow's cause. In all of this, if we're not careful, here's what religion does. All right, I want you to walk through Keith Akin's past life. That's me if you don't know my name. I want to just tell you this. Here's what I would do. All right, so God, you're sick of my religion. You're sick of my meetings. You're sick of me going through the motions. And it says here, I need to wash myself. So what am I? I'm going to wash myself. All right, so I need to make myself clean. I'm going to make myself clean. I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop drinking as much. I'm going to stop eating as much. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It says, let's see, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. I'm gonna quit saying that Jesse's a low life son of a. No, I didn't ever say that. Jesse's a good guy. Cease to do evil. Okay, here's the evil I've done this way. I'm gonna quit doing. You see what I'm talking about? It becomes prescription again. Let me just go ahead and ease it here from religion to relationship. You cannot clean yourself. You can't wash yourself enough. You can't stop doing enough evil. You can't do enough good. You can't help enough people. It's already been done for you. There's a God that bought you into relationship. How can sinful people do this? You can't take these verses and you could work to the point of Jesus comes and miss the whole point of passages like Psalm 50 and Isaiah 1. Here's what I believe God gave me to say this morning, and somebody here needs to hear that. If nobody else, I'm going to sign up for it and say I need to hear it, okay? You ready? Empty religion is ritual and rules hoping to tip the scales, but relationship is knowing and operating with the freedom that there are no scales. You can't do anything. The beauty is, though, you don't have to. You could work your fingers to the bone serving people from this day until the day that God calls you home to be your last. And it will not put you in any better standing than you are right now in Jesus' name. That's the beauty. That's the grace. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Everybody look this way for me this morning. I'm ugly. Deal with it. I want you to listen to me this morning. That the gospel is simple. Jesus died for you so that you could say the two words that Jesse said this morning. Our Father. When you do that in Jesus' name, when you've washed yourself in Jesus' name, not on your own good deeds or not on the lack of bad deeds, when you stand out of religion and step into the gloriousness that is relationship, you can say with confidence, no matter what you've done, my Father. I promise you at that point, He will say, my son, my daughter. I was thinking of this last night, and this is the gospel brought to you by John Wick. Anybody ever seen John Wick? There's a saying in my family. Anytime John Wick said, what do we say, Bradley? He's a bad man. You ever watched John Wick? He's a bad man. We saw John Wick chapter 3 last night, and he's still a bad man. But let me tell you about every great story has a great hero. Think to my favorite movies. William Wallace, Braveheart, right? Think of Wyatt Earp and Tombstone, although if you read history, probably wasn't that much of a hero. Maximus and Gladiator. We've already mentioned Wax On, Wax Off, Danielson, Karate Kid. And then there's good old Marty McFly in Back to the Future. Every story has a great hero, and I want to tell you the reason why is because they all borrow from your story. You have an amazing hero. one that has bought your ransom. And I believe today he is calling people out of religion and into relationship. I want you to picture a guy walking down the side of the road. This won't be hard. Somebody got a backpack this morning. I want you to picture a backpack full of the heaviest bricks you can find. And I want you to picture carrying that around for 43 years. That's a long time. As you're carrying this burden, and you've carried it, and you've carried it, and you've carried it, and you felt like, man, if I will just carry this in the most straight way possible, if I won't veer to the left, I won't veer to the right, and those scales, man, they'll just work out. Can you imagine the freedom that would come if somebody told you one day, hey, boss, we was talking about that word, boss, you don't have to carry that. Wait a minute, you mean I can take this burden and lay it down? That's exactly what the word says, is that you can take that and lay it down and accept the free gift of salvation, grace, and mercy in Jesus. Doesn't it feel like that's a little bit of a lighter? Whew, man, that's a little bit better walk, right? That's a silly physical illustration. But can I tell you this morning, if maybe I'm speaking to two different people that have just really been on my heart this morning, there are some that feel like they've got to tip the scales in their favor and they've been carrying the weight of religion. Would you lay it down? Picture that if you got to. Would you lay that burden down and walk in the freedom that is Jesus? And there's some, listen to me, everybody look this way for me one second. I'll close with this. There are some here this morning that are carrying around the burden of not feeling like you're good enough. Lay it down and accept the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. It's over. The most beautiful words ever said in the line of our Father was what Jesus said on the cross when he said, "It is finished." There is nothing more to do, nothing more that you can add. You can try, you can work, you can add with all your might everything that you want to, but there is absolutely nothing you have to or can do. Walk in the freedom of that today in relationship. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the compassion, Jesus, that you show. Your word itself, compassion, means to suffer with, that you are not someone that just sympathizes from a distance, but Jesus, you came, you walked among us, you lived a perfect life, you died a sinner's death in my place, in my brothers and sisters' place, so that we could lay the burden of religion down and pick up the beauty that is relationship with the gospel. I pray that this week, even in our talk in Psalm 50 and Isaiah 1, that in religion, we, even those of us that know you, that really live in relationship, but we don't operate out of it, we still try to pick back up the pack and carry it ourselves. Hello, truck driver. Help us to remember this week that when we decide to pick up your word, if we feel led to this week, if we feel led to pray for somebody, we feel led to serve somebody, help us not to do it with an eye cut at the corner of saying, God, I hope you're watching this. I hope you're keeping score. And we lay that down and we say, no, I'm doing this just because I love him. He loved me. I love him. And it's relationship. It's just to get closer, to operate out of that more. You see, religion, we feel like we can control you at that. We can control the narrative. We can operate within this safe, comfortable, beautiful, little, nice packaged box. That's not you. You are a wild one, Jesus. You will call us to do amazing things if we would just listen. That's relationship. Doesn't happen in religion. It's hard to hear in that. It just, so many things cloud us. Will you help us to operate out of relationship this morning? Jesse said it beautifully this morning. We thank you for the words, our Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that this morning. Help us to operate out of that. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father God. Holy Spirit, continue to speak in this place. In Jesus' name.
dreaming of trying to tame you, trying to make you behave. Boy, you railed against all my discipline. You don't get your own way. Boy, you have a wild heart. I guess we knew that from the start. You are who you are, so please don't change. 'Cause I'd rather have you wild anyway. Instead, I'll build a fence for you to roam in. Let you kick up a fuss, and love will be the yoke you are fitted with. When you're too tired to run, 'cause boy, you have your father's heart. I guess we knew that from the start. We are who we are, so please don't change. 'Cause I'd rather have you wild anyway. But I won't give up trying to teach you about a much wilder love, of one who will break you as he holds you and tear you down to build you up. How he reached down into the dark just to save our wild hearts. He made us who we are, so please don't change. Please don't change. I pray you never change. 'Cause I'd rather have you wild anyway.
All right, guys, a couple things to pray for this morning, a couple special prayer requests. I was trying to combine a word there. Donald, that used to be with us, brought the coffee every week. Donald is living in Tennessee. His sister-in-law, he had to move up there and help with, is having brain surgery this week for a hemorrhage. That's Thursday. Her name is Joyce. So special prayer for her. Deb and Daryl that are out here had a family emergency this morning. Pray for them. Arthur is out here somewhere over this way. We're going to pray for him before we leave. Unfortunately, going to be his last week for a little while with us. He's moving. I'll do some traveling, so pray for him. Ephraim's daughter had an asthma attack this morning. And so just several things that's out there. Any unspoken prayer requests, anything you want prayer for this morning? Anybody raise their hand, wave, holler, wink, shout? All right. Several. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and all these things that we've mentioned. We just pray that you, we trust you at your word, that you're already at work. You know what we need before we even ask. But in the faithfulness of believing that prayer matters and that you care for our hearts, these things and the unspoken requests and many more. We just mentioned that you just be at work in these situations, offer your peace, your comfort, your protection, your love, your tenderness in these family emergencies, sickness, surgeries, moves, job situations, all of these things that's been asked to pray over this morning. God, we just trust that you're at work already. We love you. We thank you. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ms. Mitzi will call out names here in just a minute.